Now we turn to fields far from the ones we know, where a great hammer strikes down upon a blade forged from the heart of a dying star. The reverberations of the great blow echo through the billion worlds, cut into a thousand roaring screams along the keen edge of the weapon. Their voices cry out in unison, and the word sounded throughout the universe is... Doom.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 10 of
Doomed Prophecy.
I'm Jaden. I'm here with Brett.
I don't have anything funny to say this week.
That's fair. I'll do the voices next week.
You did.
I did. I was editing that podcast. It was so funny. It's like, and welcome to episode 9 of Doomed Prophecy. I was like, gosh dang it. I'm like in a perfume commercial or something.
I'd buy that perfume.
Doomed Prophecy perfume?
Mm-hmm.
Should we just like design a whole host of like Doomed Prophecy silly spoofy product ideas and like make up little crappy animations for them all?
Doom Prophecy, the flamethrower.
For when you want to doom your opponent's prophecies. Anyway, hello everyone. We are here with a little bit of news. We got some stuff coming out. We got some confirmed like ballpark dates for a few things. Pyro and Blob are coming out in December, apparently, which is earlier than we thought. And means that they will also be coming out contemporarily with Wolverine and Sabretooth. The day this drops should be the day that Sentinels and Red Skull 2 come out, so that will not be news. And we have no idea what's happening in November, if anything. There's been a very strange lack of communication on that one.
Is a suspicious gap because November is the anniversary of the game coming out, and every year up until this point, they've done something big like X-Men or the card rework to celebrate that.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll have a little bit more information on that soon because, you know, it's not actually that far away anymore. It's like 3.5 weeks till November, which is crazy. Yeah.
Also means it's inside the distribution window, so probably not going to be any physical product. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be tricky. Unless they're like, nah, there's no way that they're playing with like that kind of system at this point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's that. In other news, also, Brett's been putting out really excellent little articles under the Doom Prophecy logo on our website, which is lineofsightwargaming.com. And I highly recommend going and reading them because they are both fast to read and also super informative. Every single one so far has been I knew this, but it took me like months to figure out in advance kind of deal, so go check those out.
I play most tournaments with my scenario distances article pulled up.
Yeah, that's pretty smart. You know what would be even better is if we made up like an easily printable sheet that also had our logo on it somewhere and that you could print off and laminate maybe to the size of like, I don't know, a character card perhaps.
No, I've got a black and white table. That's everything you would ever need, right?
Brett, sometimes people want art.
Yeah, that sounds like your job.
That's true.
So when you get free time in a couple months.
Oh boy. Yeah, for those not in on the inside joke, every time we design anything, Brett shows up with a spreadsheet and then I have to make it look pretty. So this is
different strengths.
Yes, that is very true. So this is a part of our collaboration process that is as old as our collaborations are. I think that's all of the LVO coming up. I believe they've already sold out tickets, so if you want to go to LVO and play MCP you should get on the wait list. There is a medium-ish chance that mine will be going out in the not super distant future because I think I'm playing 40k at LVO this year, but
good luck with that.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you and Omnus might convince me to just play MCP, but I don't know,
it's just,
Brett.
It's just a lot of people. I'm not.
It is a lot of people, but it's also my best chance to win Best Painted at a huge event.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Also, I know you're going to disagree with me vehemently on this point, but having 2 hours for lunch is pretty dope, and I'm kind of getting used to it.
I'm getting real tired of 40K TOs planning out other events, and you get like 3 hours of gameplay in a convention day.
No, but see, that's where you play all the commander with your friends.
What? No. What? That just sounds like you're having Fun?
Yeah.
Foon?
Foon? What is this word? Anyway, so that's coming up. I think there's a new TTS league starting up like the literal week after this goes live to the public. So if you want to learn more about that, I believe there's a Discord that you should be able to find a link to somewhere that will let you sign up for that league, which I highly recommend doing. It's really well run. Lots of interesting games happening on there. And from what I've seen from my friends that play in it, they seem to get a lot better, a lot faster than they felt like they would by playing against a ton of people from all over the place. So, yeah, that be the news. Brett, what are we talking about today?
Well, I played against Red Skull 2, and I have opinions.
Oh, dear. All right. full disclosure, I have not played against Red Skulls 2 because I tend to not let myself talk about or play with things that aren't out yet. But in this case, I'll make an exception. I guess last week, too.
Also, it's coming out the week that, or coming out the when we release this, so.
Yeah, it's topical. All right, cool. So, Red Skull 2, first of all, can we just take a moment and appreciate that his model is flipping awesome? Like.
Is it?
Yeah, it's so good. It's fantastic. It's him on a giant base with a bunch of lightning bolts flying around everywhere. It's great.
What about the grunts?
I honestly don't think I've. Oh, are they just like the ones wearing the Hydra costumes?
I don't think I've looked up.
I don't think I've seen pictures of the grunts. Either that or they're so bland that I've completely forgotten about it. Stand by. We will find out.
Yeah. I think grunts are such a weird thing to have added to the game. Like, I understand mooks are kind of common in Marvel games, but it's like, or Marvel comics, but it's kind of like the least interesting part, especially visually. Mm-hmm. And it runs into the problem where you, like, the cool thing about MCP is that you never have to paint the same model twice.
Yeah.
And
so I have, in fact, looked it up, and I have, in fact, seen these before, but it's like you just stuck three bobs on a base and gave them less cool looking guns.
Cool.
In fact, I would not be terribly surprised if this was just the Bob STL file that they rigged up in Maya and then ported and then changed the pose a bunch and then fixed all of the like cloth discrepancies and then said, "Hey, this is good."
Good enough.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be way cheaper than getting them resculpted completely. yeah. So he's coming out. They this drops. His model is dope as all heck. Yeah. Looking at this thing again, it's like this is what Thor's like. If Thor's like Odin Force model doesn't look this cool, I will be very, very disappointed. So he, let's talk about him. I have heard him described as Corvus Blade and Proxima Midnight all in one character, which is why I'm intrigued by him. He's a threat 5.
You'll note that the game I played against him, I was playing First of the Black Order, so I've got the comparison in my mind.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm excited to hear about that. Just going to quickly go through his stats. He's threat 5, which is cool. It's him and his little grunts that come with him. I'm going to have to figure out how to make those look cooler than that, because those do not look very good. He's got 4 physical defense, 2 energy and mystic. That's not actually what they'll be. But let's talk about that later. He's got 7 health on his front, 6 on his back, which is very good. He's size 2, and he's moved medium on a 50 mil base, which means he's pretty speedy boy.
Yeah, I think his health is slightly below average. I think 5 is a total of 14, but
yeah,
that's also below average because he's going to damage himself a lot. But he brings the grunts, and his defenses are extremely high once we get to his roll.
Yeah. So a little bit low on the health side, but he's also bringing like 2 health worth of grunts that come back every turn.
They're 3.
Oh, they're 3. Okay. Well, great. 3 health worth of grunts. That's a sentence. I got there. He's got a range 3 builder, which I really like. It's strength 6. It's physical. Oh, it's not a builder. Gainer. It's a gainer. Sorry.
Yeah, it gives him 1 power every time he uses it, no matter how much damage it does.
Yeah. He's got conditional move short afterwards with a wild and a hit. He's got conditional push on size 3 or less if it deals damage and he rolls a hit. Or, sorry, a wild and a shield. Both of these are very good abilities, especially the movement one.
So he gets an ability that makes his attacks more accurate, mm-hmm. and like that attack is good enough that you almost don't need that. Mm-hmm. Like on a 5 threat with a really good grunt, like a range 3, 6 strength gainer is just like that's almost enough to make a character right there.
Yeah, it's really strong. Assuming his defenses and stuff aren't actual garbage, which they're not. They're pretty good. That's a very, very, very strong attack. And I love the amount of mobility that lets him have, because it's super deceptive. If you give him any sort of placement effect and he gets this off twice, he's moving short twice, which with his 50 mil base is something like 5 inches, I want to say, pretty close to, of threat per, or of movement per attack. So we can move 10 inches while making 2 attacks and, you know, potentially displacing 2 enemy characters, which means that I think, correct me if I'm wrong here, Brett, he should be able to walk from one back gamma shelter to the other gamma shelter, just making attacks and pushing people off. Am I wrong about that?
Certainly if he gets the blitz twice. I'm pretty sure he can go from front to back with just the blitz once.
Yeah, yeah. 2 blitz moves, push 2 people off, make 2 attacks. Like, that's his ideal turn. That's nuts. He's got a range 2, strength 9 energy spender that costs 5, which is expensive, but it's not actually energy. You get to choose. You get to decide if it's going to be energy or psychic, which is also kind of nuts. Yeah, mystic, sorry. you know what? They're the same thing in my head. Who cares?
You're not wrong.
Yeah. It also has a throw for a wild for a character that's size 4, which is very, very relevant. And it throws medium, which is a very long ways.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually think, like, spenders are typically not worth using. I think there will be at least one time per game where it's the right call to use his spender, because that throw is so
good. Yeah. If you don't take occult research, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's got an Hydra leadership that's pretty bad. You basically get a power if you're holding your contesting an objective token during the power phase. It's not terrible, but it's barely
yeah, it's really good for him specifically, mm-hmm. but kind of hard to justify over Strucker, which we'll talk about in a second.
Mm-hmm.
He has a 2-cost ability to make his Blitz Strike count blanks as successes, which, boy, that starts...
What the hell?
It starts pushing him into ridiculous damage territory. Like,
yeah.
So he gets a power from his turn 1. He can get another power from his second ability, or he can get 2 power from his second ability,
yeah.
which we'll talk about momentarily. So he's sitting on 3. He uses his power. He's down to 1. He hits somebody with Blitz Strike. He's back up to 2. He uses it again, and he gets 2 Corvus Glaive-style attacks for just existing, which
yeah,
is that's, dece.
Yeah, like, there's no once per turn. It only costs 2. I mean, he mm-hmm. can't count skulls, but, like, he's not even that mad if he gets a shield, because then he gets to push.
Right.
And yeah, just 6 dice with counting everything but skulls and shields. That's a lot of damage.
Yeah, we're not even talking about his grunts on top of this yet.
And the team he runs in, like, if you're taking Zola and Strucker, that's like 2 or 3 rerolls per attack.
Mm-hmm.
You can fix those shields too.
Yeah, if you need them to be damaging. So he has an ability that we alluded to. It costs 0. He takes a damage and gets 2 power. It's kind of like an homage to his cube thing, I guess.
Except it doesn't cost an action.
Except for it doesn't cost an action. And, yeah. Then we get to his Leviathan armor, which is a very good defensive ability. It's kind of like Vision's phasing, except for he can't swap it mid-turn. You get to just choose whether you get 3 extra defense dice against mystic or energy attacks. And if
it's also confusing because the Vision one... The energy, uh-huh. if you chose energy, that's what makes him immune to collisions. But for Skull, it's you have to choose Matt. You have to choose Mystic. Now you got me saying it. You have to choose Mystic to be immune to collisions.
Yep. So yeah, if you choose extra Mystic defense, you're immune to collisions. If you choose extra energy defense, you're immune to pushes or advances by Mystic attacks or enemy superpowers. Both of which are really good.
Yeah, I believe that's the same wording as Juggernaut's helmet.
I believe so, yes.
So very, 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 very relevant ability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's part of the thing is, like, he can sometimes be this, like, thing that comes into somewhere and pushes 2 enemies off points, like, dazes one of them maybe, and then sits there and he's like, well, I have minimum 4 dice defense against your attacks and you cannot push me. Good luck. And there's some teams that will just be like, all right, we're going to ignore you because the upside to attacking you is nothing.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah, I think him getting ignored is going to be a pretty common occurrence. We'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah. Then he gets to just make a grunt every turn.
Monster. Yeah, so that... Oh, yeah. I forgot that. That's relevant. So he has a rule that says when he would activate, put the grunts into play, and if they're not in play, put the grunts into play and they get staggered, which essentially means that So with Fury, you have to kill the grunts, otherwise they get two free actions. If you do that against the Hydra troopers, they get to make one action anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yep, which is sure a thing. His backside doesn't change at all, right?
No, it doesn't. One less health.
One less health, yeah. And then his Hydra troopers, let's talk about these guys. They have 3 health, they move short, they're on a 50 mil base, so that kind of barely matters. They're size 2, they've got 1 physical, 2 energy, 2 mystic defense, which is okay. Honestly, I don't know why they're not all 1, but there it is.
I can't answer these questions for you.
Then, for some reason, they have a range 4, strength 4, energy weapon, which is nuts for a free model. And then they can spend an
unkillable action, free model.
An unkillable free model. And then you get to either they've got a Hydra assault action, which is a 0 cost superpower, lets it move, and then during its next attack action, it gets to reroll any of its dice, and then it's KO'd. The KOing it part barely matters.
It's actually a benefit in many cases.
Yeah. then, okay, but that's not it. They also have a thing called Occupation Force. The first part of this, it makes total sense. This character cannot pick up, hold, or extract objective tokens. Because
notably, you do not do any of those things with Research Station, so mm-hmm. they can contest Research Station or control it just normally. And they're always a healthy character.
Yep. And then also, that's the first part, this character does not have to pay power to interact with secure objective tokens, which is so nutty. Like, all right, the least useful version of this rule is I get to Extremis for free every turn. The dumbest part of this rule is this free character walks across all of the meteors and flips all of them.
Yeah, so the craziest one is on Mutant Madman, which is probably why they have 1 physical defense, because they go from dead to spawned, and they can flip 2 different points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do only have 1 physical defense, which is important, but yeah.
But yeah, on Sword Base, like, you just spawn them in the middle of nowhere, they walk over and go get one that you weren't even on. They have a 50% chance to flip it no matter how many characters you have on it. Like, so this team, the Hydra team, is going to be a flip secure monster simply off the back of Hydra 2.
Of Red Skull 2?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Which would be fine, except for they're also all a bunch of murdering maniacs, aren't they?
Well, they have a lot of dice fixing, and then Red Skull 2 is a murdering maniac.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, all right, so hyper relevant here. We should talk about Strucker's leadership, because it's going to... Because a lot of the things that you would do to contain a character like this is, like, you know, slow him, shock him, poison him, make all of his... What?
Do not do that.
Do not do that. So let's talk about Strucker. Most of his card doesn't really matter.
Well, Strategic Genius matters.
Strategic Genius matters, yeah. So Strategic Genius is the same thing that Zemo has.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally the same rule, right?
Yes, yeah, because it doesn't stack with it.
Okay, important, because if they did stack, that would be nuts. but he's also
You can have it on 2 regions of the table.
That's true. Awesome, yeah, sucks. It is awesome. And you may do that anyway. But yeah, being able to reroll 2 would be kind of nuts. So his leadership is Hydra High Council once per turn after... You resolve an attack by an allied character, and if it deals damage, you can choose a special condition the allied character has and put it on the defending character if they don't have it. And so you just, like, transfer it. So if I'm on incinerated, oh, now you're incinerated. Whoops. Also, once per turn, when an enemy character gains a special condition, the character that caused that effect can take a damage off itself. So it's
extremely relevant for Red Skull 2, because he wants to be doing 1 damage to himself every turn.
Yes.
So you want him to have a condition on him so that he can get rid of it in order to mm-hmm. get a health off.
Unfortunately, there's lots of ways to apply conditions to your own characters if your opponents aren't. Zola can put out bleed. Strucker can poison things. You can use Hood to heal your own models and put bleed on them mm-hmm. and then transfer that bleed over. And just be healing for, like, 4 per turn, which is bananas. So yeah, this is an extraordinarily good leadership that gives Red Skull a ton of sustain when you're playing, you know, in Hydra.
Now let's talk about what I think is personally his best defensive role, mm-hmm. which is the card Occult Research.
Okay.
So the way Occult Research works is during the power phase, Red Skull 2 can spend 10 power, which is obviously quite a bit of power. Mm-hmm. But if he does that, he gains a permanent ability that says he can take 3 actions per turn.
But there's a downside, a small one.
Yes, it's he and all characters, not all enemy characters, within range 2 become staggered. And mm-hmm. because it's in the power phase, that means that he will definitely be affected by it. He will definitely be staggered by it.
Yep. And I'm just double checking because I haven't actually had to pay attention to the timing of staggered in a while. Stagger requires you to use your first action to shake it, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you can't get around it with the Strucker leadership.
Correct. But if you get stagger in the middle of your turn somehow, mm-hmm. It doesn't actually affect you to your next activation.
Right. And then you could, for instance, use his range 3 attack to then put that stagger on somebody else that didn't have it and just be like, woo, I have 3 actions now.
Yeah, that doesn't... Oh, if you had a way to give him an out-of-activation attack, like if they did face me on him, you mm-hmm. could give away the stagger. Yeah, don't use face me against Strucker. Strucker's leadership.
Yeah, that's a bad idea. All right, so why is that his best defensive tech, Brett? That sounds like some pretty decent offensive tech.
So he is extremely limited in how he gets power. Mm-hmm. The only ways he has to get power is the one he gets in the power phase, possibly his leadership,
mm-hmm.
and then one per gainer that he does, one per attack that he makes with his Blitz Gauntlets. So the main way he has of getting up to that 10 power is to get dazed.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no downside to just send him straight to the middle of the table, first activation, first turn. Because if your opponent dazes him,
mm-hmm.
so if he, let's say he walk, spend, or does Tiz 1 damage himself to get 2 power. Mm-hmm. He's now at 3 power mm-hmm. and has 6 health left.
Mm-hmm.
So if they do 6 points of damage to him, he's at 9 power, he'll power up to 10, and then on the second turn's power phase, he gets to permanently gain an extra action for the rest of the game.
Yep, and also seriously screw up whatever's close to him.
Right, and the most characters that can actually do that much damage on the turn will have to be in melee with him. Like you deliver a Magneto, or you deliver a Corvus to him, mm-hmm. or Malekith charges him, right? All these things mean that they're going to get staggered in the power phase. Doesn't matter who has priority.
Yep. Which is pretty bananas. And yeah, giving him a third activation or third action per turn is the apocalypse. He will kill so many things every turn.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he goes down to 0 power, but then he just does damage to himself, transfers away to a special condition in order to heal himself mm-hmm. and just keeps gauntleting until you die. Yep. Like, and it's range 3 off a medium base. It controls a huge amount of area.
Yeah, range 3 is 6 inches, medium base is 2 inches, so we're looking at, what, 749, about 150 square inches of table, just shy.
Just a lot.
Just, you know, just a small portion of the table.
Yeah, most of a scenario.
Most of a scenario. Okay, so
and he's also very mobile once you start getting those triggers.
Oh yeah, as somebody who's played probably too much of pre time nerf Thanos, it is ridiculously hard to quantify how powerful it is to be able to move 3 times in a turn and do stuff. You can literally win games with flip secures, which they want to be playing anyway, off of that. If you don't have grunts that can for some reason,
So that means that you can, I think you can get like all 4 of mutant madmans, mm-hmm. which is just nonsense. Because you drop off the grunt, they try for 1-2, and then mm-hmm. you go walk to the other 2. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
Yep. So that's really, really powerful. So it's going to be really interesting to see what people do about this, because that's such an unusual position to be in. Like, not that many characters in the game. Like, there's Venom, I guess, that's like, yeah, hit me, please. But there aren't that many that are this, like, game warping if you actually decide to hit them. But then at the same time, he's probably standing next to something that you care about, or he's holding something that you care about, right?
Yep. He ended up with 4 cubes in the game I played. I'm like, oh, that's bad.
Yeah, sheesh, seriously. Yeah, don't bother dazing me. I'll just do it myself.
Yeah. Yeah. So his expected damage is really high, so you can't ignore him. But if you go in with a bunch of people at range 2 to take him out, he then just staggers them all and gets better for the rest of the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really crazy damned if you don't.
Yeah, 100%. So let's talk about maybe some characters that are going to absolutely either love having him around or that he's going to love having around. The first one that kind of pops into my head is Mordo, actually, because he can kind of be mini Thanos for the damage, because more dice is more better when you have an ability to let you count blanks.
Baron Mordo. Yes.
Yeah, Baron Mordo.
I think you said MODOK. I was very confused.
Oh, no. Baron Mordo. I think he's really, really good, especially combined with the reroll potential that the rest of Hydra's going to have.
Mm-hmm.
You get the mini Death's Decree every round. You get to reroll a bunch of dice. Your opponent's not happy. You're very happy. That sounds really, really strong to me. We mentioned Hood already. I think Hood is a really interesting character for Hydra just in general because of the Strucker leadership and its interaction with being able to bleed your own stuff suddenly being a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably not going to be that surprising. Are we going to see... Mind. Sorry, go ahead.
I wouldn't mind a bodyguard with him so that you get him injured, and then you need to make sure that he doesn't get killed as soon as he wakes up on the other side.
Right, so something like Luke Cage would be very good. Venom would be kind of interesting.
Yeah, and both of those, you can keep them outside of range 2, so they don't get staggered, and they like use their card to get into bodyguard range.
Right. Yeah, that would be very interesting to have either. Like, Luke Cage is obviously just a fantastic bodyguard in general because he's so meaty, but having two characters like that where, you know, you can attack Red Skull and maybe I'll let you, but if you don't attack Red Skull, then do you want to hit Venom? Do you?
No.
Actually? And the answer is usually not really, actually. Okay, so, you know, bodyguard... dice additions. We don't really need anything like Shuri because Zola already does that.
Mm-hmm. There are different named rules, but
stacking them feels a little bit superfluous. Do we like any more crazy placement effects like maybe the Howling Commandos, which would be freaking ironic, or Medusa?
I don't know that it's necessary. He gets so many actions and he's so fast already.
That's true.
I think Wong could be relevant if he gets 2 special conditions on him, just so you can get one of them off.
Well, and Wong can also charge him up.
And Wong can remove the stagger and the power phase, so you get all 3 actions after he does his occult research.
Oh, you mean remove the stagger before he activates?
Yep.
Yeah. That'd be interesting. That might be a place where Wong actually could really shine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's... basically all Hydra stuff. Do you think he's going to be splashed anywhere?
I think he'd be an extremely good splash in Asgard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking that as well.
They already want to play flip secures. Mm-hmm. They already want to play flip secures. They can get rid of the stagger. Oh, no, I think his text card is
Hydra. It's Hydra. Yeah, it is.
Okay, that's a big downside. I think occult research is a huge part of his power.
Yeah, but I mean, like... he is just a 5 threat that has ridiculous damage output, which is something that, like, Asgard weirdly doesn't have. Like, Thor's not terrible, but Red Skull's better at killing things. Loki can kill things if he has to, but doesn't really want to, usually.
Oh, no, you have to wait till your next activation to heal the damage. Yeah. Okay. So you don't quite get one power for free. You have to sit with a damage for a little bit.
Yep. So I think that's not a terrible call, even if he can't use the
research. Oh, you know what's really dumb?
Hmm.
In Asgard, you could Doom Prophecy with him.
Can that go on anybody?
I thought that the only word they changed was who belonged to. Oh, no. An allied Asgard character. Never mind. Ignore me.
I was going to say that would be dumb, but I don't. I didn't think that was the case. I do think he'd be really interesting in Asgard for sure. Other places.
He's a great candidate for using the new Sentinel Cassandra Nova jank card.
Yeah.
Then he can count skull, or he can count shields as wilds.
I mean, so
the only face that doesn't work is a skull.
Yeah, that's certainly not a bad thought.
Yes, it is. But it is very funny.
Yeah, probably.
What would you bring into this guy? So, someone who has both energy and mystic.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of swap between the two of them. I don't know if there's any characters that are actually like that.
Hawkeye?
I guess he doesn't have Mystic.
Oh, you're right. Doctor Strange has energy and Mystic, but you have to spend her for one of those.
Strange 2.
Wanda?
Is strictly Mystic.
Oh, strictly Mystic, okay. Dormammu, weirdly.
Oh, no, he's strictly energy. He has some other text on his card, but...
I will have you know that spender has won me so many games.
Malekith and Loki, technically.
Yeah. Although, you won't. Malekith will just punch him with the energy attack and be like, yeah, have your extra defense dice, that's fine.
I think Loki's actually a really good way to fight him.
Oh, yeah, because Loki makes his zero cost thing that gives him power cost a power. He doesn't like that. He makes his thing that makes his attack better cost 3 power. He doesn't like that at all. And if Loki gets dazed, then he turns off the crits, which means that his attacks get less terrifying.
And he can count blanks right back at him.
Yeah, it's like, all right, let's have a blank off, shall we?
That sounds bad.
Yeah, I guess so. I do really like
that. I think Loki needs to be played more. I have him in my bag. I keep trying to play him, and he keeps getting cut. It's very sad.
Mm. Mm.
I would also say things like... I just had it in my head. Oh, things that drain his power. Mm. So, like Ghost Rider, using his spender and just draining all his power off.
Dr. Voodoo.
Not super reliable, but yes.
Mm-hmm.
It fortunately turns off the... You just possess him and then run away.
Yes. Get wrecked. You can't interact with scenario anymore.
Ah. His grunt still can, but...
Oh, well.
Nothing you can do about that.
No. Yeah.
Those are the main ways. It normally, it's like, well, he's got high defenses. Let's incinerate, hex him, and go to town. It's like, no, don't do that.
Right, yeah, because Starkle will just be like, would you like that condition back... pal?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you wouldn't? Yeah. Too bad. Yeah, which is a really interesting... Like, that leadership really changes the dynamic of what you can do to characters like Red Skull, because normally you can control them with quite a few things, and like, I guess throws are still good, like chucking him away from stuff that he wants to be around. Still That's not a bad thing.
Stagger him, yeah.
Right, yeah, because then he has to spend an action walking, and he hates doing that. He wants to blitz around the table, right? He wants to punch things... and then get the free moves out of those so that his action economy is off the charts.
Correct.
Before
we go, I would like to talk about Endless Legions.
Okay.
So this is the Hydra card that says, during the power phase, you can play this for free. When a Hydra trooper would be KO'd, remove all damage from them. They're not KO'd. Mm-hmm. Then the opposing player pushes them short.
Okay.
Do not... under any circumstances, take this card.
What if the circumstances are I want to just have a trolley game?
So the reason the problem with this card is that they only interact with secures. So pushing them short is generally just as good or better than killing them.
Mm. Right, so, because then you can't bring them back with Hydra to begin, or with Red Skull.
Yeah, so they're in the bad position, and if you like daze them again, push them again, then they're just like completely out of the game. Like, it is actually worse than just letting them die.
Right.
So unless you have a way, unless you can like trap them, like in terrain, like where they're wedged between terrain and they can't be pushed, just like there, you should never, never take this card.
Yeah, it's a really cool idea, but it doesn't.
It would be absolutely insane on like the Fury Grunts, right? If they're holding an extract and they can't die.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But on the Hydra Grunts, it's like I said, it's worse than dying.
Mm-hmm. Fortunately, AMG kind of thought of that because, yeah, that would actually be so dumb. Yeah. All right. Well, unless you want to say anything else, I think it's about time to thank everybody who supports us on Patreon, because you guys are fantastic and you help us get podcasts out consistently and write articles and stuff and pay people to write articles for Marvel Crisis Protocol and many other games. And if you'd like to check that out, it's at patreon.com/lineofsightwargaming. You can go look at all the different tiers there. The basic gist of it is you get, start with a cool name in our Discord and move up from there to seeing episodes early, to voting on topics, to telling us exactly what you want us to talk about, to all kinds of other things. So again, patreon.com/lineofsightwargaming. We really appreciate all the support we've had over the last several years from you guys. You're the best. If you want to email any of us, you can do that, admin@lineofsightwargaming.com, or if you want to email Brett or myself specifically, it's our first name @lineofsightwargaming.com, and that will get to us. You can also like our Facebook page, which is Line of Sight. You'll be able to see all the episodes that go live there, as well as any articles or paint jobs or anything that get posted, which, you know, we're putting those out pretty consistently now. So it's a good place to go for content. If you want to join our Discord, it's in the show notes of this podcast where you can get that invite. I believe it is also just discord.gg/lineofsightwargaming. I'm pretty sure we're at the point where we get to have a fancy invite link. But, you know, if you want to be sure, go to the show notes for one of these podcasts and then hop in through that link. And that's it. We don't really have Twitters to follow because we never check them. And if you want to talk to us, Discord or Facebook is absolutely the best way to do that. So until next time, thanks very much for listening to the 10th episode of
Doomed Prophecy.
And we will see you later. Bye.